Welcome to the Money Focus Podcast. I'm your host, Moses the Mentor. In this episode, I have the pleasure of being joined by Kia McKinney, who's the founder and CEO of AAA Motivated, which is a platform dedicated to educational consulting and empowering Black youth. She is on a mission to amplify youth voices and foster successful life outcomes. Kia is passionate, and she's here to share her insights on leadership, community, engagement, and then the pivotal role that financial literacy has in shaping the future of our youth. So let's dive into this enriching conversation. All right. Thank you, Kia, for joining the Money Focus Podcast. I really appreciate you taking time out your busy schedule to come talk to me and to the audience. And I always like to start the show with giving my guests an opportunity to talk about their career journey and ultimately what led them to start their business. So the floor is yours.
I'll first say thank you and blessings on blessings for having me. My career journey, like how did I get here? I was just reading something I wrote in 2002. And mind you, in 2002, I had a one-year-old. And when I read it today, now they say if you want to manifest something, write it down. And I read it again today. Now, this is not the first time I read it, but I realized, like, I've been working on this mission here for, like, 23 years. And I'm just living out what it is God showed me a long time ago. So first, my mom, that's number one for me for career journey. Because what I've done is be able to take that love that I have as a mom and marry it to Black student success. So when I first started my career as a young person, I did a lot of finance stuff, so I understood systems. And then I wanted to work close to home. That's how I got to work inside of a school. So I used to work at a high school, and I was with the experts every day. Well, being the only Black lady, that happens a lot at schools, okay? There was a student who tapped me and said, hey, Miss A, that's what they used to call me. Would you be our BSU advisor? And the BSU is a Black Student Union. I did not say yes. And I didn't say no, but I didn't move my feet to do anything. But that summer, I went to the principal and I was like, hey, you know, I think I'd like to. She said, oh, we've been waiting for you. And that was, I think, 2014. And I just took that thing in my heart. God put everything in place. Pandemic came. We weren't inside the schools. But this is the thing that I just could not let go. Black student success, wraparound services for parents. And I said, well, how do I take this thing that I love and turn it into a business? And so I just started researching some things. I knew I had it. I knew I had it in me because God had already given it to me. And so I just followed what God said do. And he has placed every person, every resource in my path so that I might help light up a light for young people and the families in my community. That's what I do every day, right? So I do it with my clients on my educational consulting business side, and then I do it also with my own youth program. Black student success every day, everywhere. I'm committed to it unapologetically. And that's kind of how I got here, right? Just I volunteered in schools and I worked at a school and it was my thing.
So that was, you said 2014 when you started that?
2014.
And when did it shift from the volunteer lane to the business? Around what time was that? Did you say the pandemic or was it before the pandemic?
It was during the pandemic. So in 2021, I think it was around May, I've been working on some things and I went down, filed some paperwork to get a business, you know, thinking I knew how to start a business. So, you know, this is still new for me. Yeah. But it was, let's take this platform and figure out how to turn it into an enterprise also at the same time so that this thing can be self-fulfilling, right? And so 2014, like, hey, I got this thing. I got the goods. But then 2021, when I really, like, just bet on myself.
Yeah, that's important. What were some of the initial challenges that you had when you that 2021 time frame when you said, hey, I'm going to bet on myself and start my business. What were some of the initial challenges?
The initial challenge, I will say, and the biggest challenge for myself, and that actually I teach young people, right, is that not imposter syndrome, but like comparing yourself. not staying in my lane about doing what I said I knew how to do, learning more about it, but looking at what other people were doing and starting to build that into what are really the depths of my business, right? So consulting and youth leadership development, I started looking all around. And so that slowed me down a lot. That slowed me down a lot, comparing versus just quote what God gave me. And then the other thing was that I have a wonderful resource network right here in my city, like where I live, right? But really getting into all the spaces that I needed to be into to learn more, that was the first thing. I just needed to learn more, right? Because when you work with schools, programs, they look at data. And I've always looked at data, but I needed to get with those folks that could help me bend the arc of time with that learning curve. And so taking some time to get some mentors. I had people that meant really good for me. I know they did, but they were just not the right fit to be mentors. And I think if anything, any business, right, get a mentor, somebody that has been there where you want to go. Those would probably be my biggest challenges.
For your mentors, because again, hence my name, Moses the Mentor. You know, those mentors, were they easy on you or were they tough on you? Because I always subscribe to the mentors as just, that's going to give it to you straight and really help you by challenging you. You know, when your mentor is always, you know, having nice, cozy conversations with you, that's really not the time when you're growing. So I just curious to know, like, what were some of the characteristics of the mentors that you had?
And I totally hear that. And so we've been through a couple of people, right? And I don't like this to be the Kia show, because if it's the Kia show, I'm not growing. And so one mentor that I have actually just came into my life. Let's see, this is March. It's going to be 1 year. And what I love to say when this happens, and I appreciate it, is like, girl, you pulled my wig cap back, right? To help me look at some things that I needed to be doing, right? So one area of growth, which I'm just so thankful for, and this is something as like a new business person, especially if you work from home, right, is calendaring your time. Really, it is setting yourself up for success. And so here I was teaching young people during, I did these fellowship workshops and things like that, and I'd say, schedule your success. I realized that when I set a calendar, and this is one of the things my mentor was like, we're not having another meeting. Go set your calendar. And when you get that done, then we can talk, right? But it are those moments of just keep it real with me, because I'm like this, if you don't, I'm not going to get better. And I know tomorrow I'm not going to be 100% better, but I'll be 1% better. And that's what I strive for every day. And so the people around me, they have a saying, but basically is that you're going to get it straight for me, because that's the way I want it from you all the time. And that has just been tremendous, tremendous. Because I have enough people that like me, right? Because I like people. I like the human condition. But somebody that can give it to me straight is super important. And for me, Moses, you have to understand, I don't have any parents on the earth. And my mom used to give it to me straight. She was a boss. I appreciate
that. Wrong with that.
At all.
Well, what would you say, like, you know, with your company and its mission, how does it align to the observations that you've had in your life? Like, how does it resonate with you, the mission of your company, and what ultimately you've experienced in your own life?
We'll be back after a quick break.
If you enjoy the show and would love to be a supporter, head to the episode description and click the link so that you can become a supporter of the show. For as low as $3 a month, with no commitment and cancel anytime, you can contribute to the success of the show and making sure it's sustainable for years to come. I really appreciate your support. Thank you so much. Back to the episode.
So my mission is to develop young leaders, right? If that's on the educational side, if that's on the program side, the youth program side, I want to develop young leaders so that their voice, right, is empowered and amplified, but it's authentic, so they can stand up in those spaces that are tough in their life, no matter if that's in your boardroom, in your classroom, with your relationship. I was taught that. And so I kind of works as a double-edged sword in a way, but you just have to know how to use a sword. That's it, right? So when you walk into a room confident because you know what you know, you're there to listen, right? What you know, you can, you don't have to say a lot of things. Listen, right? Because when you speak, people are going to listen. Now that intimidates some people. I get it. But I say, I'm not intimidating. You're intimidated and I cannot do anything about that. But what I do know is that there's a right time to speak up. And as a young person, right, just through my life's journey, I was raised in a church. So we had the usher board and all these adults that just kind of helped us develop leadership. And so it's what I've always just known. So really what I'm doing now is just giving back what was given to me, but in particular for Black students. People here that know me will tell you, they'll quote me, Kia McKinney does not care if you're Black, white, brown, yellow, polka dot, or striped. If you're a kid, you win, right? But I get to choose. And all of us get to choose. That's what we forget. We get to choose. I've chosen that Black student success is my practitioner concentration because I came from finance. I look at numbers.
I mean, and that's, you know, part of the reason why, you know, I started the Money Focus podcast. I mean, you know, I'm a Black male. I'm originally from Brooklyn, New York. You know, financial education just really is not at the forefront of our community. It just isn't, you know, and I don't want my people to survive. I want my people to thrive. I want my people to have options with their money and understand the power of their dollar. So bringing people on like yourself and my other guests is really to spotlight you guys and give you a platform, but at the same time, educate the listeners so that they can, you know, just soak up an ounce of new information before they go and waste their money, you know? So that's the goal. So I love your mission. It sounds like you have people that help guide you along the way and now you're giving back. So that's perfect. Kudos to you.
I appreciate that. And something that you just said here is super key, right? To part of making the mission work is because I can empower young people with the voice. They know how to bend the arc, right? At the end of the day, I'm like, we win. Well, whatever path you choose, and I tell the other people, which path you choose, choose it boldly, right? In the society that we live in, right, we use money. And it is something that young people and families are not talking about. They're not talking about. We had a think tank last year, and my legacy group, right, of cohorts, they're like in their 20s, and they're talking with the high schoolers. They're talking about taxes and life insurance and not knowing how to fill out a W-9 and all types of things that we're like, we're missing those connections.
In your overall curriculum, how important is financial literacy? Like, sound like it is, but is some specifics that you can talk to about how you actually help with that?
So we are being new. The way that it's kind of written into our curriculum. So what I do is I do leadership development. That's my wheelhouse, right? And so then I lean into the experts and ask them to come to do a workshop here. Oh, there's a workshop there. And then I need to send my students somewhere, right? Because with financial literacy, just like the whole, right? I work with high schoolers in particular a lot. And so learning about the FAFSA and loans and all of that is so scary. So I am always like this. Okay, that workshop was going to be at the, wherever it is, if it's the school, if it's the Delta's giving the workshop. And I'm like, here. Right. Because I'm like this with young people, anybody that works with young people, families, you know, you can lead them to the water. Yeah. We all drink. I did my part. Right. But that is super key because here's the thing that kids want to know. One, the first thing is this, how do I go get the money? That's what kids want to know. Right. But in plugging them in with other resources, I've got to plug them in with folks like you and folks that are right here in my backyard, but we'll show them once you've got the money. Now, here are some things you can do with the money to one, keep the money, multiply the money, and make sure it's there for generational wealth. That's the winning solution for me, the generational wealth piece.
Yeah, I mean, basics. You noted a moment ago about FAFSA. So obviously student loans, you know, understanding that because, you know, we need to make sure that, you know, students are making informed decisions about their education. And it, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it means that,
You may not go to a 4-year school out the gate. Maybe you need to go to a community college at first and get some of your core classes out the way if cost is an issue. Maybe you need to reach out. I had a guest on. Her name is Renee Wiley, who specializes in applying for scholarships. And she had a story that was like she won so many scholarships by default because people weren't even applying for them. It's like, so there's so much information that needs to be had. And we just don't need to just roll into our post-secondary education and just like be dumbfounded instead of being informed. So it's a critical age where you are at that point, and we just need to help them out as much as possible, for sure. So let's talk about leadership as your specialty, right? And I value that. So, you know, when you are talking to your students, your Black students in particular, how do you ensure that they come across as authentic and with their leadership presence as opposed to being kind of like just molded? Like, hey, I'm going to be Kia, you know, but in my form. Like, how do you ensure that they're being an authentic leader, but maybe taking some of the principles that you teach? What are some tactics that you use?
I love that question. With young people or people, I first start with this, and I'm really serious about it. I know people think I can be maybe, you know. Truth is, I tell them, I can never be a you on my best day, and you can never be a key and a king on your best day, right? And so I really believe, meet all people, but meet young people where they're in, right? Or show them that you're vulnerable, right? My voice, just who I am authentically. I used to always tell people I'm empowering and amplifying the youth voice. And they told me, my mentor told me, but maybe, you know, you should change it to this and that. And I kind of went with it, but I realized like that's the same thing that had been done to me by some folks long time ago, right? I will not perpetrate that again on my young people. And so when we're in workshops, or you are always going to see that. You might see Kia up there talking, but we are modeling in the sense of, okay, now I'm going to sit down and you give me some feedback about what you heard, right? So we just did something with the middle schoolers the other day in the sense of I always want their voice to lead. Their voice leads the discussion. I can come into any room. They don't care who I am. Like that part, you got to realize young people, they don't care who you are. Like they want to know, like, first of all, what can you do for them, right? So just hit them with the headliner. Don't waste their time, right? And then allow them to speak. And then listen. I do that with my young people at the school the other day. I went there for one reason, spent the rest of the lunchtime, and I'm listening because they had something to say. And the more you're around young people, I got to find some other things to do. But the more you're around young people and you're listening to them, they respect that. And then when you do have something to say in regards to, here are some tools that I learned that may or may not be for you, they are so much more apt to take them. And run with them, because I'm like this, do what you gonna do with it, baby, because you can do that thing better than I can do that thing any day. They can reach it to some spaces I can't. And I'm like this, I know I'm not for everybody and everybody's not for me. And so accepting that about myself, I try to give that to other people, especially young people that are trying to find themselves. Whatever that is, bring you, baby. And I'm good with that, knowing that, hey, I'm accepted just for who I am. They can just relax, and then that's when they begin to open up, right? Language evolves, and advocacy, all of that comes out of there. Just allowing young people to speak and like listen, and don't listen to just respond, but like take that in. And it's okay to say like, oh, and don't say nothing else.
So what are some like some real world challenges that your students face?
So top of the list, right? Because I'm interacting with Black students in particular. My middle school is about half brown and Black. Every space that I go into, every single space, there's this heart space around how these students are being treated at school, what's happening and what's not happening, from other students to teachers to administrators, right? And a lot of it comes around racial epithets, slurs, things like that. They don't have the space to unpack this. They don't even have the language to unpack this. And so then what happens? They're angry, right? When you're angry, okay, so then the barriers are already we are sitting at disproportionate numbers of suspensions and expulsions for Black students. I'm talking here in the state of California, right? Well, barrier already. So that means now you have this anti-Blackness happening on your campuses where you are for most of the day. Your response is going to put you back into that category, right? When you get, they call it assertive discipline. When you receive assertive discipline, you are missing out on class time. So if you're missing out on class time, it's just that domino effect of now, right? I'm not reaching standards. Yep. I'm not in class so that I can maybe take an advanced class. These are all barriers to success, right? At the end of the day for me is I want students. This is an initiative in the state of California, so I'm just like tapping into it. But I want my students to graduate from high school with diplomas, degrees, and LLCs. And one of those roles is dual enrollment. And I know that's a contested issue in our community. That there's data and there's everybody has an opinion. Well, I have my opinion. And my opinion is when my students come out of eighth grade and we do a whole rites of passage matriculation, that those students are cohorted and but they are supported, right? That's the thing, you got to put in the supports. So barriers are, right, first-gen students having the resources to know FAFSA again, all those things that are going to bend the arc of time for you, because here's what happens, is that education equity ties directly to lifelong outcomes and the equity and inequity in like healthcare, right? Economic stability, housing, all of those things, there's a direct correlation. Those are the barriers, right? So learn education. That's one of the things about being in this kind of coalition of other people here in San Joaquin County that are doing this work. We've got students that are focused on policy, right? And environmental justice, things like that. So all of our students plugging in together here in the county, which is super awesome. I'm like, that's big. That's the coalition building, especially inside of the Black community, so that they get all the resources because we're changing the narrative. That's the work I'm really doing, is giving me the tools to change the narrative.
We need those barriers moved. So I appreciate your work. But, you know, again, when you're doing an initiative like this, what has been the community involvement for you? Like, have you been getting support to help you propel the program forward?
I'm smiling because every day, the deeper I go into this thing, I see that God has put everything in place, right? And so when you work inside of community, everything that you need is there. It's just the experts are just everywhere. And because I'm unapologetic about it, when I walk around in this town, people know I'm leading with, and I, like I said, I don't feel any way about it. I'm leading with Black. And so because people know that, I know which ones want to deal with me and which ones don't. It's okay with me, right? That I got a mission that I'm on. And so one of the ways that I've been able to get support, right, for the programming, the workshops, is just one, the mission that we sit on, what we're doing with young people, people want to be a part of that, right? Oh, Black, white, brown, yellow, purple, diamond, stripe. So that's just, we got the sauce there. But then what we've done, I love it, is in our youth program. So you can sign up to be a part of the cohort as a young person, grade 6 through 12. But you're not an official member until someone in your familial unit, right? And if you're foster, then there's a foster caseworker that signs up with you, has to be a part of you being in the youth program, because we need to wrap around services. I can't help students if I'm not helping their families. I'm doing them an injustice. So yes, there's been a wonderful support. Well, not just here in the city, but in the county. And as we just kind of gain momentum around the work that we're doing, starting to see some movement with, you know, around funding, because to do the program, you got to have some funding until you get, right, you tap into folks like you and some other entrepreneurs that know how to help us get that stream of income coming that self-sustains the nonprofit, because we have to be self-sufficient. Funding dollars come and funding dollars go. Right. How do we become self-sufficient for ourselves? So we can do this as a community because we have experts. And so I stay open. I stay open to folks wanting to lean in, because as you lean in, I have to lean in, right? And so whatever God has given me for this path, I'm here for it.
We'll be back after a quick break.
I hope you're enjoying this episode, so I'm going to keep it brief and just take a quick break to let you know about my coaching services. So whether you're looking to dive deeper into real estate investing, get a firm grip on your personal finances, or take your career to new heights, I just want to let you know I'm here to guide you every step of the way. Our one-on-one coaching sessions will be tailored just for you and truly just helping you reach your fullest potential. So when you're ready to actually take your dreams and make them a reality, schedule a coaching session with me today. Head over to MosesTheMentor.com and click on the Book Me button on the top right. You'll get right to my scheduling page and we can get you on the books. And I look forward to talking to you, man. Now back to the episode. When it comes to equitable and inclusive environments, what barriers still exist in your opinion? And how? What have you done to potentially overcome them? Or is it just, you know, too big of a task for one person?
So this is my mantra. Do what you can, when you can, where you can, right? Inside of your sphere of influence. Because if you look at this whole picture here, we're talking about centuries ago, we're talking, right? It will swallow you up and you won't move, right? So do what you can, when you can, where you can. How do we make sure we're providing equity? Follow the money with the school. Follow the money. And so best I sit on a school site council. I have since I don't know when. I've just been that kind of parent, right? Because I want to have a voice in the room to determine where the money goes. They say if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And so that is one of the things that I advocate with my parents or my guardians that have students in the cohort is sit on a school site council. That's immediate, right? You can go to school board meetings. That's in our brochure, but start at your school where your student is at, how the money is being funded. You bring in the ideas of what programs should come in. So if you know of a program like mine, bring it to the school site council. If it's not mine and it's my brother's and my sister's, bring it in. If it's about doing the work, right? There's strength in numbers. That's just a tactic we know works. And so you know something that works, put your foot on the gas and do that thing. I get that I make people uncomfortable sometimes, but that's okay, right? Uncomfortable, if it makes you move to a place of saying, you know what? Let's provide this for our students. I learned of something just the other day, Moses, hadn't heard about it. Mind you, my son is 22 years old. I've been in the same district, okay? So for Black Student Success Week, I'm writing all this stuff about a Black family literacy campaign. Talking to somebody in the district that's helping me. And they go, oh, well, you know, we have this program that we pay for. And I said, oh, what program is it? You want to know the name of the program?
Yeah, let us know.
It's called the Latino Literacy Family Project. Wonderful. Oh, wonderfully wow. Written. Beautiful. I mean, they have literature that goes along with it. There's a 10-week course that goes along with it. And I'm like, yeah, this is what I just wrote up. But it's not. Yeah. So if they paid for a Latino family literacy campaign, we can bring to our community a Black family literacy campaign. And so the reading and writing comes with it. The financial literacy comes with it. Important to me is wellness, right? So we'll tie that underneath the literacy campaign. It's just, well, you have to go inspect what you expect. So bringing equity is saying, okay, I'm not making you feel uncomfortable because I'm telling you that you shouldn't have this Latino literacy project. You absolutely should. Where I live, you absolutely should. And at the same time, it can exist with a Black family literacy campaign. And here's how we do it as a community, because I am serious about this, that as a people, we must work in community. It's that philosophy of Ubuntu. I am because you are. That's why we exist, right? Together. So that means I need to plug into you. This is the piece where I can plug in. Am I a literacy expert on reading literacy? No, but go get the experts and bring them to the table and they are ready to knock it out the box for our young people.
You brought up Black Student Success Week. So tell the audience what exactly that is and what are your expectations from this event?
You just went to my whole heart. Blackstein Success Week, April 21st through the 27th. So I'm just going to put that one out there before I get into it, I always have to give credit where credit is due. I want to thank the California Community Colleges. They have a coalition and they have this construct called Black Student Success Week. So I did not make up the term Black Student Success Week, right? I always think people to know that and check out CA Black Students. But what the California Community Colleges, they set up was this week. I found out about it in 2021 when I started my business, right? Someone told me about it. And I'm on this virtual call of like 700 Black people with letters in front of their names, no letters in front of their names. And they said a lot of things during the week, but this is what I heard. What can you do? What will you do inside of your sphere of influence to impact successful outcomes for Black students? I took that and I ran. I said, high school's my wheelhouse, 2014, right? So I'm like, let me get busy right now with what I can do. And so what happens now is that here in my town, we have developed, and when I say we, this is that collective pulling in other youth groups, parents, advisors, folks from the school, community members, leaders, plugging in to provide a week-long program, right, that focuses on diplomas, degrees, and LLCs. That's our theme, right? Because that's the end game. But it's guided by the youth voice. How do you want to get there? Because like I said earlier, I don't care what path you take, baby. I mean, I care, but it doesn't matter to me because I don't get to live your life and you don't get to live mine. But I want you to go boldly in that pathway. And so what we do is start the week with resource networking, because I talked earlier at the top about bending the arc of time, right? So that means we got to put people together. So for me, Black people, when will we build pipelines of Black student success? We resource network. And so we kick off the week with the resource networking reception. And then we just kind of move through the week each day. We have a young Black think tank that will happen during the week. That's where our alumni, we call them legacy. That cohort, they lead our high school students. And just some real talk. I mean, I got to sit into some of the sessions last year. There was everything. They did everything. I mean, they cried, they laughed. It just was authentic. But we put a few experts in the room, you know, just kind of put some guardrails, right? So that we can make sure we're providing good information and resources and taking back the information so we can get you the right stuff, you know? So that's that youth voice leading again. There's so much. I know people can go to the website, but there's so much. One of the greatest things I love that we're doing is we showcase to the community on the 27th. It's a culmination event. It's been here for years. Nobody picked it up. So I picked it up. It was what I could do, right? And we have an 8th grade Black student recognition celebration. Anybody in the community can recognize these students, right? Because I'm like, this is where people don't get so happy. But I'm just telling you about other people's data. Our school districts recognize our Black kids. Yes, they do. But the numbers are in not a place that I would choose them to be. So what we're doing, right, we're transforming the narrative. We write the narrative. We have to pick up the power of the pen, right? And so the power of the pen now belongs to parents, guardians, if you're a program director, if you're a pastor, if you, you know, this is your neighbor. You can find something positive. We got like 7 categories you can nominate these young people in, right? To nominate them. Last year, we were able to give out a book award. So I ask people to support because that's how the students get the book award. And this is somebody that's nominated in the top of their category. That's my label vlog. And so Black Student Success Week is just that pouring out into community where you got something that you know how to do? Bring it to the young people. Stop making it hard for them.
Yeah, throw them a ball, you know, share your knowledge. I always say, you know, learn, grow, and pay it forward. So don't try to, you know, hold on to this knowledge that you have that helped you, you know, share it with people, you know, especially young people, for sure.
That's the formula. That's the winning formula.
Yeah. I know you touched on it lightly, but, you know, how can the listeners truly support AAA Motivated? Like, how can someone come and tap into you, the program, help the kids? What do you actually need?
I love that you asked that, right? So I think with any small business, right? We're going to talk about funding. I just say it. You say, what do you need? We need people to donate. We need people to go donate their, here we go though, time, talent, and treasure, right? Because I want people to come authentically how they can come. I don't turn away when this is your heart of love, right? Whatever you've been blessed with, that's what I'm asking you to pour into, right? So for us to make Black Student Success Week a splash, even greater than it was last year, right? We give scholarships, right? We give things away to the students, provide services, and that takes money, right? So if it's a personal donation, if it's something from your corporation, if it's a group of family members, a church, there's a link on the website, right? So we need donations to our youth program. We're a fiscally sponsored program of Project Sankofa. Like, just this is that coalition building, right? So that's just off top. If you live locally, right, we need hands. We need hands because we need hands, Black Student Success Week, but we need experts. I tell people I love a big brain. So if you are an expert, near or far, I'm going to ask that you reach out to me. You know, whatever your expertise is in here, because you see, there's somebody that can learn from your path. You already been there. Can you come break bread and give game, lace these kids up, right? And not just the kids, but their families. So time, talent, treasure, right? And treasure is catching the vision, speaking it out to somebody else, right? So that might be as easy as sharing a story, sharing a reel. I just put something out today, right? And I had some different people just share it. It was a click of a button.
Right. It's easy.
Do what you can, when you can, where you can. And that's really the support that we need for our youth program to move forward.
And I know you're in California. Where exactly in California for the audience so they can know? You mentioned local support. So where are you actually located?
We are in Tracy, California, which is a part of South County in San Joaquin County. So Central Valley's pretty big, and Northern California, then you got Southern California down here, and in the middle is called Central Valley. And Tracy is, it's a hop and skip from the Bay Area. So a lot of people know we call it the Oakland Bay Area. Some people call it the San Francisco Bay Area. Well, it's about an hour east of there, and then about an hour south of the Capitol. So we are really, the location here is just awesome. Right. Because at some point, this would be the middle of that whole metropolitan beltway that connects Northern and Southern California in the right spot. We got the right young people and they are moving forward.
Nice. Nice. So what final thoughts or advice do you have for the audience? And then also let us know how we can reach you. You know, give us your social media. Shout out your website again. Talk a little bit. Closes out also just confirming those dates for Black Student Success Week. And the floor is yours. So, you know, closes out.
My first thing is thank you. Amplifying my mission, my heart. I thank you. That's how we win. And so I want you to know, like, just as you've done for me, that comes back. That doesn't just stay in one place, right? This is how we grow. So I thank you for that. My one piece of advice for anybody that picks this up, no matter if you're a student, no matter if you are a mom, if you're an entrepreneur, if you're somebody trying to figure out what is my gift, right? It is, I tell people my secret is simple. I pray. And I have a little quote in my house that says that. And my prayer is that God will give me strength in my body to do what I can, when I can, where I can, while I can. And that looks different for everyone. I know what it looks like for me. I've been on this road, this particular AAA motivated road, 24 years. I'm looking at like when I rode it. So yes, does it take time? And if you have the time, if God gives you the time, you're blessed. But every day, know that you can. You can, inside of your sphere of influence, do what you can, no matter where you're going to put that overlap. I've chosen Black Student Success to be that. And so I join anybody that's listening to join the movement, right? And so everything, you can find me at AAA Motivated, three A's, Motivated. That's on Instagram. That's on my Facebook group. That's my website. Actually, just to engage, you know, I love to cross post. You come to my page and be like, what is this page doing? I cross post because I want people to get good information. You see what I'm saying? I got a branded website. I'm not worried about if my stuff does not show up more than yours because I want us to win. And so AAA Motivated is everywhere. We just launched on the website all of the good stuff for diplomas, degrees, and LLCs during Black Student Success Week, April 21st through the 27th. We are looking forward to people joining us in person here in Tracy, California. But we have so many virtual components that you got to stay up to date to know everything that's going to happen. But we have some great virtual components for people to plug in. I am super excited. I am super blessed to be doing this work. When I go from here, I tell people this and they go, oh, Key, it's morbid. No, it's not morbid. I just want to say when tomorrow doesn't come, but Key and McKinney, you can stand up and say she was sold out. Like she did this thing every single day. And as long as God gives me breath in my body, this is where I'll be. And so I just thank you and I bless you for allowing me to pour out love.
No problem. Thank you so much. And I'm going to include all that information in the episode show notes. So for everybody that's listening, please, you know, take a look, check out AAA Motivated across all platforms. It's a great mission. And again, Kia, thank you so much. We out.
So thanks again, Kia, for joining the show. I'm sure the audience felt your passion and ultimately your dedication to empowering the youth and advocating for financial literacy is something that I definitely, truly admire about you. And to my listeners, I strongly encourage you to visit AAAMotivated.org to learn more and also support their cause. And remember, for more empowering discussions and expert insights, make sure to visit my website, MosesTheMentor.com, and also subscribe to me on YouTube, Moses the Mentor. So until next time, keep pushing forward and making that impact. The world waiting on you. Thank you for tuning in. Peace. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Money Focus Podcast. And if you're a visual person, I have great news for you. You can head over to YouTube and head to my channel, Moses the Mentor, and you'll find every single episode there to watch. You can also look in the description of this video for a link. But again, you can watch this full episode on YouTube, Moses the Mentor. Check me out.